Hello, and welcome back to Networking Unleashed, Building Profitable Connections. Welcome back to the show, folks. I'm your host, Michael Foreman, and you're listening to the podcast where networking is more than just awkward handshakes and bad coffee. It's an art and a talent. But here's the twist. It's an art and talent you can actually learn. Yes, even if you're the person hiding in the corner at every event, pretending to check emails. Networking isn't just a nice skill to have, it's a game changer. And when you get good at it, you'll wonder why you didn't start sooner. More connections, more opportunities, more profits. It's like unlocking a cheat code for life. So whether you're the life of the party or the just let me stay at home and text type, we've got something for you. So stick around. Let's turn those awkward small talk moments into big wins. Now, I have a guest that, well, I actually have a pair of guests today. They are a husband-wife team. They are small business coaches, Sharon and Hank Uloff. They're authors of 8 best-selling books, hold small business breakthrough boot camps several times a year, and have hosted almost 400 episodes of their podcast, The Marketing Checklist Viewcast. They focus on marketing, sales, public speaking, and human resources, the 4 areas where most business owners say they struggle. And this is near and dear to my heart because this is what I talk about. Sorry, excuse me. I go on stages for, and I really like to talk about. So, Sharon, Hank, why don't you just give us a quick backup of what you do?
Our clients, they call us their easy button. When they have a challenge, the best $7.99 ever spent at Staples. When they have a question about sales or marketing, or I'm going to a networking meeting and what do I do? They press the easy button and we walk them through it in advance so that they know what they're going to. Our background, our business started like most family businesses do over Thanksgiving. We were one of those families that went around the room and talked about what are you thankful for? And it was my turn. Mom, everything's great. Sharon, me, married, and I'm passing it on to my sister. And my mom said, gee, Henry, oh God, which is the formal name, how's work? And I got to tell her how work was going. And her comment was, what would it take instead of being a manager for this other company? What would it take to start your own? And I gave her a very flip answer that I would need to buy a new fax machine because it's, because the one I own had belonged to the company.
Your audience does know what fax machines
Yeah.
are, right?
And she looked at my dad and said, write him a check. So 2 weeks later, the business was started. And fast forward 13 years and ish, and Sharon came on board.
Yeah. He had a client that needed his marketing and sales background, but also needed the HR and office systems background that I had. And so we agreed to team up and we really haven't looked back since.
So it's good. So you two create a wonderful synergy between your two backgrounds, which is
Correct.
great for starting a business. Okay, so I'm going to move right into my questions. How has networking influenced your career in marketing, sales, and public speaking?
Look, I'll be real blunt. Networking built my business. I joined a couple of different chambers of commerce. I joined a hard networking group. And it's really, that was the bedrock of it.
Some folks might not know what a hard networking group is, right? It's so
Like a
a chamber of
BNI,
commerce.
a tip.
I say chamber of commerce is a soft, right? There could be multiples of you in there, but a hard networking, there's one business per category, one marketing firm, one banking, one, it's not one lawyer because there are different brands of lawyers, different specialties, but there'll be one for each specialty.
Yeah, I believe that networking is the base of all businesses because no matter what business you're in, you have to network. And whether you do it through Zoom, through your cell phone, or in person, I believe the in person is the most important. because you pick up on all the vibe of the people, the room, and everything else. But that's here, not neither here nor there. Tell me, what's your most successful networking strategy for HR professionals?
Ooh. Watch this, Sharon.
It's not much different for HR than it is for anyone else. Who's your ideal client, customer, referral partner? Where are they hanging out? Go hang out where they're hanging out. So it depends on what you're, right? Are you looking to network with other HR professionals? Are you looking because you're hiring and you need that next, whatever that best employee is, right? It depends on what's the goal of that networking opportunity. But that's pretty standard no matter what, right? What's the goal?
Yeah, that's true. You always have to look at the end to see where you want to begin. Because when people start to network, they say, okay, look, I'm in mortgages. And where do I go for mortgages? But you have to look at where your customer really is networking. And you go on from there. That was very good. Can you share a memorable connection that significantly impacted your career?
Oh, easily. There's actually several kind of around. I'll give you one that I share all the time. I was on the board of the Encino Chamber in Los Angeles, and it was a mixer. And being on the board, I felt it was my obligation, or in networking terms, it was a great excuse to walk up to any new person that came in and introduce myself, talk about the chamber, not by my stuff, but welcome to the chamber. Let me get you involved. Who can I introduce you to? One particular mixer, woman walks in. Now, demographically, she fell into one of my target audiences. So, okay, age, you know, got it. And it turns out occupationally, in that demographic that you go to a meeting, I want to meet this person. There she was. And turns out we ended up having a hour and a half conversation, didn't talk to anyone else at the mixer that night, but I had been on her boss's TV show because she was working for Time Warner Cable. And she ran the office, which in the promo business, this was like the perfect buyer. So we became very friendly. We rooted for different baseball teams. We got past that. Now, let's fast forward several years. She's been a client and a friend. But because of her job, she was in the San Fernando Valley in front of a lot of audiences, a lot of business audiences. The mayor of Los Angeles came to the Valley for a particular event. She was the MC, etc. And quite often, her story, as it turns out, I was the very first business person she met after she got her job when she walked into the mixer. And she will see me in an audience and she will see that guy right there, Hank Uloff. And she would edify my company, and then talk about the importance of being a business community. But it was that third party validation that started being the very first person to be welcoming a new person into the chamber.
At first, there's a feeling within networking that when you go to an event or anything such like an event, you look to give, not receive.
Absolutely.
Right? So if you look to give, then you'll always get back, because what goes around does come around. But it puts you in such a better place if you look to give. And so it looks like you hit that nail right on the head.
You probably teach this. Look, but if there's a new person and you say, so you're here at this meeting, who would you like to meet? If you can connect them, what's the first thing they have in common is you. Hey, they're going to talk about you a little bit, but you've banked some karma points or business points. Even if you get no business from either of them, you've done a good thing. And in business, absolutely, you know, our businesses are built on continuously doing good things and being of service. And that's
absolutely
vital in networking.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I teach to my students and when I go on stages and everything else. because I say it in such a way that because I bring everything down to a chamber event, a chamber of commerce event. If you see somebody new coming in, you say, who are you? What do you do? And everything else. I think, look, that table over there has a table full of marketers. I think you'd fit in very well. Let me go over, introduce you. You go over, introduce, and then you step away. But you've built yourself up in their eyes. So that's
very,
very.
Can I take
very,
that one step further?
Sure.
All right, folks. Let's say you're going to introduce that person to one person. What I've done is I've said, you know what? You two have a conversation and I'll tell the new person, tell you what, when you two are done, come find me and I'll introduce you to somebody else.
It's even better. That's even better. So that's very good. And I'm going to have to steal that.
He's now going to steal. Yeah. Okay. So the first time, give me attribution. After that, it's all yours.
Okay. You got it. You got it. Okay. So how do you balance online and in-person networking in today's digital age?
I think of trying in whatever it is, trying to find balance. It's a fleeting attempt. It's not, it doesn't happen. You know what I'm saying? As balance. It's what do you need today, right? Today you might be out of balance in the in-person, right? Oh my goodness, we have three events we have to go to today, or we get to go to today, right? So today we're out of balance because we're not doing anything online. Or tomorrow we might be doing a webinar and a podcast and something else, and it's all, oh, today we get to be online. We actually can be in jeans and a t-shirt or whatever, right? That day is out of balance in the other way. Overall, the balance will even out in whatever way is brings you the fastest path to cash.
No, that's true. That's true. But keeping that in balance, as you said, is really, it's very important because you can't have the scale go all one way or all the other. In today's business, you need both. And you said it perfectly because one day you might be doing everything online and the second day you might be doing everything in person. And also you're very fortunate you have two people. So you can actually do both at the same time.
This is our brand. We tend to do most things together. Occasionally, we do have to be in two places at once. And yes, we're fortunate there's two of us, we can split, but we do try to do everything together because that's our brand, right? If you're going to hire a coach and you only see me out and we resonate and you're interested in hiring us, but you haven't met Hank or vice versa, right? It's hard to make that buying decision because there's a piece of the puzzle missing. So we try to do those things together. But yes, occasionally, especially if it's if we're meeting with folks we've already met before, if there's two different chamber events, those people already know us. They know we're a team. If they're going to make a buying decision, they already know what they're getting. It's totally fine. But if we're going someplace new, we're always going to go together.
Yeah. Although if we spill it up, we almost have to wear a badge that says Sharon is not. Yeah. Sharon's doing this, or she has more of this. Hank's not here because he's doing, because that's the question. Right. Where's Hank? Where's Sharon?
That's good, because if you go to places predominantly together, then they're always going to ask where the other one is.
Always.
So it's good. So listen, you've told me how successful you've become, but I'm sure you've made a plethora of mistakes.
No.
Give me the biggest mistake and how you avoided it.
I would say my biggest mistake is I am an introvert.
Why is that a mistake?
I'm a shy introvert, right? So for me to go out in public to network, I have to channel my inner Hank. So left on my own, I would do it all online. I'm just really, you want me to go out there? Like COVID for me was awesome. We can't go out? Oh, darn. Oh, that's just too bad. So, right. But in the business world, that is a mistake. So to lean on those initial, I don't want to's, that's the mistake. The learning process was, well, how badly do you want it, right? I want our business to succeed more than I want to embrace being a shy introvert. So I'm going to channel my inner Hank and go out there. I'm not as good as Hank is out there, but I can.
She's wonderful. She has her steps. She does wonderful.
They always say the introverts always, or the second half of the team always say, I'm really not good at this. I'm not. And you're still saying, wait a minute, you are very good at this. You are sensational at this, but you don't realize it.
The secret weapon in our couple.
Yeah. Ever since the pandemic, when people were staying inside, people now, one other thing that I speak about is when I go to high schools and colleges, I speak about how people don't know how to communicate with one another. They lost the feeling of all they're doing is Zoom or through texting. They lost the one-on-one feeling. And as well as I do, when you meet somebody, you're feeling the vibe of the person. You're feeling the vibe of the room. And basically, whether or not you're going to do business with that person.
So can I turn your podcast around for a second and ask you a question?
Sure. Wait.
All right.
Okay, go ahead.
So welcome back. This is Heron and Hank, the marketing
Thank
Justice.
You. Okay,
we have good. Our guest, Michael Forman. He's an expert at networking. Michael, you speak to a lot of Gen X, Gen Y, a younger generation. This is a topic that's important to me. Have you noticed a difference in how they network compared to millennial and moving toward baby boomers?
Well,
sure. It's huge. It's huge because the younger adults, as I said before, they never were taught how to communicate. They were just because they don't know about it. So that's what my job is when I go into high school. I have to tell them, look, you may think everything's on Zoom or you may think everything by text, but you must do it in person. When you go to meet with somebody, when you go to meet them in a company or corporation, you're not going to do it through Zoom, and you have to learn etiquette. You have to learn be confident. You have to learn eye contact, handshakes. You have to learn politeness, respectfulness, and all of that is gone, and they don't know how to do it. So yes, the answer to your question is yes, there's a big difference, and that's one of the reasons why I go out and try to tell everybody.
Awesome. I've noticed when it comes to things like all of the service groups,
yes,
chambers, et cetera, the silent generation did a marvelous job bringing baby boomers along. And baby boomers, we did not do as good a job bringing millennials and teaching them the same thing. So your public service is important, and please continue doing it.
Thank you. I agree wholeheartedly, because I do feel that is a missing link. And I think that the businesses of today, without that, they're going to lose out on a lot. So that's why I do it. But going back to introverts, how can introverts excel at networking in sales and marketing? Sharon.
In networking, here's my secret sauce. When you walk into a room of networkers, you're not the only shy one there. I promise you, you're not. Look around. There are other people hanging out at the wall.
Like your high school dances. Okay.
Go introduce yourself to one of those that are saying, hey, I see you're here by yourself. That's my inclination to. My name is Sharon. Just be willing to be first.
With our clients, when we are sending them out to a networking group, they all know, I'm not going to tell them I'm going to a networking group because I'm going to get the assignment. And the assignment is, all right, is it one, two, or three? And they have to pick a number. Are you going to meet one, two, or three brand new people and come back to the coaching call and give us your book report on who you
met? Right. Show you right.
Show the card.
Yep. You have to put them on the spot. You have to make them accountable.
For their own good. Yeah.
That's what I try to. Yeah.
That's what I try to do with all of my coaching students. I make them accountable. If I'm sitting there just preaching to them, they're not going to get anything out of it. If I make them accountable, then they really will pay attention and do a little bit more and get their money's worth, so to speak. What role does public speaking play in effective networking?
Tremendous. Yeah, you can meet one-on-one, but you could also meet one to many. And the other thing I tend to stress a lot is you're not just looking for your next client or customer. Like if you're only working on client customer, you're missing out the referral partners. Don't forget about those referral partners. Sometimes you're not going to meet your next client or customer, but what you might meet is someone who has a tribe of people that also want to meet you that they could introduce you to. If you ignore the referral partners because you're so focused on the next client or customer, you're missing out.
I always say that referrals are gold. That's golden, right? Because you're not speaking to that audience, but you're speaking to the network of that audience. So you're not speaking to 50, 100, 200 people. You're speaking to 1,000 people because if you're good enough and you resonate with them enough, they're going to say, oh, you know what? I saw this guy speak. You have to hear him. And so on and so forth. So yeah, I think it's very important. How do you maintain and nurture professional relationships long-term?
We have several tools.
Okay.
You know, you mentioned our books. We've given away way more books than we've sold, but that's the tool. We are huge believers in direct mail. We have an entire greeting card system that we use that puts things into their mailbox. We don't believe in using our email to sell without delivering knowledge. Our social media is part of it. You know, remembering little birthdays on social media. There are a lot of different parts of the puzzle. What did I miss?
It really comes down to follow up.
Yeah.
If you just met someone and then that's it, you're just leaving it to them, hoping that they're going to reach out. Hope is not a marketing plan, right? So
yeah, but it's a short one.
So follow up, whether it's greeting cards or social media or texting or sending an email. Heck, we had a one-to-one call. We give away 30-minute calls, strategy sessions for business owners that are stuck. We had a call with two women that they were in entertainment. It doesn't matter, but they were part of the LA fires that happened. So we sent an email. It wasn't, hey, let's continue the conversation about coaching. It was, hey, we just heard about this. We know that you're in that area. Are you okay? Like, be a person.
Well, that's true. But what you said was key is the follow-up to your whatever, right? Now, I personally feel that the follow-up is almost more important than the actual meeting of the person themselves.
That's right.
And I went to a networking event and I was talking with somebody and I said, hey, how do you follow up with all of the people that you meet? He goes, I'll send them an email tomorrow and I'll thank them and I'll send them an email next week and I'll follow up with them again and probably the week after that. I said, okay, thank you very much. And I'm thinking, okay, if I go up against him, he lost. Because I have a secret sauce. It involves writing a handwritten thank you note, you know, to that person. So I follow up in such a way, it's about 6 times in 2 weeks. So you think, oh, no, that's an overkill. Nope, you'll find that it takes between 8 and 12 touches before a person will respond. And I can guarantee you that with the way that I follow up, is you go from about a 3% chance to about a 70% chance. And both of you work corporate America. And if you were told somebody that, okay, I have a 70% chance of my emails, somebody responding to my email, that's gold, right? But then you'll know positive or negative response if they respond to you, where to place them, either in the no-go file or the follow up again file or something else, but you have what to do with them. So follow up is the key.
In our greeting card system, we use several different greeting cards and we do have them by list. Clients get a card every month, past clients get a card. We have prospects, which is a very broad category, but yeah, and we change the message to make sure that they understand, look, you may never, ever need coaching, but here's just a little positivity for the month.
Right.
You know, right. You don't know who they know.
You have that message, that positivity message. And as long as you are uplifting and positive and everything, then everybody would just love to either open it or just say, oh, that's right, that was Hank and Sharon. That's, you know, and that's it.
Look, we send since we're talking about greeting cards, we send the greeting cards out to our Chamber of Commerce. And quite often it'll be, we'll meet them at a mixer. Oh, you're the ones that send those cards every month. Yes, we are.
Yes, that's us.
We've already met them, Michael. Now we're just continuing the conversation at the mixer.
And it's a lot nicer when it happens that way. So you don't have that cold, well, what do you do? It's that takes that all of that out of the mix.
That's right.
All right. Can you share tips for turning casual connections into a profitable business relationship?
Sure. Tell you what, I'm gonna use your audience. All right, audience, careful. You're about to get sold here. We have several books. One of them is called The Marketing Checklist, Your Guide for Overwhelmed and Overthinking Entrepreneurs. If you would like this book, all you have to do is send us an email. But wait, would you like The Marketing Checklist for Sale? Here's where it gets fun. You have to listen to another episode of Networking Unleashed and give us like a 2-sentence book report on what you learned from Michael.
A pod report.
Yes. If you'd like The Marketing Checklist too, listen to another episode and tell us what Michael taught you. If you want our human resources book, one more podcast of Networking Unleashed. Tell us what Michael Lissa taught you, and you can have each of those books. So what we're doing is we're getting somebody to get some free stuff, and we're building a relationship with you because we want them to listen to more of you, and maybe that you'll get some coaching out of it because they listen to more Networking Unleashed. You might meet somebody that needs coaching that doesn't do what you do, and then we refer. So it's not a fastest path to cash, but it's doing enough things in your business that spinning all those plates, they start to come back to you.
It's layering.
Yeah. So the thing is, give of yourself. And if you haven't written a book, all right, some special report in your industry.
I pride myself on being able to put two people together. And I am really known for it in my circles, known for it. Look, if Michael doesn't do it, then he knows people who do, and he'll put them together. And I do that almost every day. And it's as much of a good feeling as not doing it. It's just really a good feeling.
Why wouldn't you do it?
Yeah, it's being a good person. Neighbor, a good whatever.
Isn't that what Mr. Rogers taught us to do? Yes. Oh, wait. Most of your audience has no idea who Mr. Rogers is.
That's See? Right. That's right. But
you know what Cookie Monster taught us to do?
That's okay. They probably still don't even know who Cookie Monster is.
Oh,
but that's beside.
Oh, boy, Elmo, it's good to be nice to people.
Okay, last question.
All right.
How has networking evolved the HR industry, and what trends do you foresee?
I'll start with one.
Go ahead.
Before we worked together, or as we were starting to work together, Sharon would hear me talking to clients about marketing. And she realized real fast that she was doing the same thing internally.
So I used to think that he was the marketing guy. I didn't know anything about marketing. I was HR and office management. What do I know about marketing, right? But as he said, I was overhearing the conversations he was having with his small business client. Knowing that when I was doing HR, I was only working with small business. I didn't work with large companies. It was small business owners. So the same conversations that he was having with his clients, I would have in my HR office. Right? The employees would come to me and say, I have this great idea, but my coworker or my supervisor won't listen to me. How do I get them to listen to me? It's messaging. Or the bosses would come to me and say, we have this great idea, but we want the employees to buy in so they feel like they have some ownership and it actually works. It's messaging. HR is just internal messaging. Unless I'm putting an ad out looking for a new employee, right, then it's external. But again, most of my career was small business. We didn't do that much hiring. It was a small business. So it's all marketing.
You saw that, I'm going to use that word again, synergy. for what you're doing, for what you, both of you can do together. And that's what makes it work. That's what makes your team work, because you are powerful in some areas, Hank is powerful in other areas. And when you combine that, you make such a good team. And it's, if, let me ask you a question. If somebody wants either your coaching or buy a book or just to see what you're all about, or even just to talk to you, how would they go about doing it?
Okay, don't go to Amazon and buy the book. Reach out to us. We'll give it to you for free. All right. So that's the first part. Our calendar link is howtogetherefaster.com. Grab 30 minutes with us. If you only want a book, just send us an email. You can track us down. Our email addresses are on our website, ulockcreative.com. But if you want some time, that's how to get there faster is the easiest way. They'll ask you a couple of questions, so we're ready for you. And here's our entire sales pitch. You ready? If you want to talk about coaching, go to companymarketingplan.com. So that's 5 seconds of the 30 minutes. So the other 29 minutes, 53 seconds is yours.
That's good. That's good. And I try to get to the person behind the business. And if you get to the person, then you really know what their business is about. And the people who give you that fake front, I don't want to deal with. I don't
Look,
want to
talk Mike,
to.
We had a business coach that we were with him for 2 years. And I'll say this up front. Every penny we invested, totally worth it. We didn't continue because toward the end of the second year, I said, look, I've got a marketing question, you know, for us, how we should do it. And his answer was, I don't know your clients well enough to answer that. And I was like, okay, wait a second. In the first, when a client starts with us, we start with a 2 hour onboarding session. We know about their clients like that. And during the course of our contract of a year with somebody, we really know their business. So it was an oh my goodness moment. And again, I feel fine about every penny we invested. It was worth it. But it also, that last thing taught us to create the coaching program that we wish we could have found out in the wild.
But we also felt and still feel like we don't really know him. We know his persona, but we don't really know him. And we don't know how to do that. We don't want to learn how to do that. What you see here with us and talking to Michael is what you're going to hear on the phone or in our mastermind.
When you meet Michael in person, you're probably going to get the exact same thing as you see here. There's no persona.
That's it. I hate people that put that front on. And that's why
it's
I really
hard.
Don't do business. It's hard because, you know what? They don't remember what they said a month ago because it was all fake. If I can just be me, then I don't have to worry about that. You just be you. And that's why you're successful. I'm successful. And it makes the world go around that much better.
For sure.
So I want, Hank, Sharon, I got to tell you, this was a great podcast. I learned so much because your background and my background are so much alike, and we're teaching almost the same things. So it was like a breath of fresh air.
Thank you.
Okay.
Michael,
so
I have a feeling we could chat for another hour or so. And in fact, we might do that, folks. So y'all have a great day. Michael's going to do the ending. We're going to chat for another hour, but you're going to wish you had heard it all. But make sure you keep listening to Networking Unleashed, because I have a feeling there's a whole lot more you can learn from Michael.
Thank you, and I'll talk with you soon. Well, hold on, folks. Don't go anywhere. Let me just read a few of our sponsors that we have. Struggling to reach success? Maybe it's time to quit. In Quit Your Way to Success by Rodney Davis, this reveals 27 steps to breaking bad habits that hold you back. This powerful book helps you rewire your mindset, take control of your actions, and turn setbacks into stepping stones. With real-life examples, motivational quotes, and actionable lessons, especially for sales professionals, you'll gain the tools to quit, what's stopping you, and start winning. Transform your future today. So Quit Your Way to Success by Rodney Davis, available now on Amazon. And this is a nonprofit called Revved Up Kids. This is something I believe in wholeheartedly. Revved Up Kids is on a mission to protect children and teens from sexual abuse, exploitation, and trafficking. They provide prevention training programs for children, teens, and adults. To learn more, go to revvedupkids.org. That's REVVEDUPKIDS.org. Well, that's a wrap, folks. A huge thank you to our special guest for sharing such incredible insights today. And of course, a big shout out to you, our amazing listeners, for tuning in and spending your time with us. Remember, networking isn't about being perfect. It's about being present. So take what you've learned today, get out there, and make some meaningful connections. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe, leave us a review, and share it with someone who could use a little networking inspiration. Let's keep the conversation going. You can find me on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, or my website, michaelaforeman.com. Remember, until next time, keep practicing, keep connecting, and keep building those relationships. This is Michael A. Foreman signing off. Take care and happy networking.